Blog Talk Radio. and Father, Jesus' name we pray to come to bless us all, to guide us in all the truths. Let your project here be fulfilled. Bless your children, send us your Holy Spirit, guide us to Jesus, and let all your purpose, that's all that you have to give us tonight, be delivered by your angels to each one of your children that are hearing this show or will hear later, and let your kingdom come and be consolidated in all of us. Bless us, Father, reign over us, in Jesus' name, Yahushua's name we pray and praise you, amen. Okay, brothers and sisters, once again, welcome to the show. Welcome to our gathering. Tonight I have chosen again to do the show that was supposed to do yesterday, but due to Block Talk Radio problems, we were unable to do it at the right time. So we chose to do it again on this day. We will bring in lots of information. We will be bringing information that maybe you are not aware, you never heard. For others, it's not a new thing. But we will be continuing to this series of shows about the church history, because one of the things that God has chosen is that there is a lot of lacking of knowledge about the history of the formation of what we call the church, the body of Christ, which in fact it is not a synonymous. Church is not synonymous of body of Christ. It is precisely some opposite thing. Church as a word, its root, it's not ecclesia. Ecclesia is the Greek root of the assembly of Christ. Church comes from another origin, from old English, chirichi, that comes from the Greek word, chirchi, that it means, in fact, a goddess from the Greek mythology that was supposedly transforming human beings in pigs. So, as you can see, the deeper we dig, the more things we see that are wrong on what we think that we have learned that is truth. So, we will be giving continuation to the series of church history. We have stopped on a show that was called the First Council, First Seventh Council, I guess. And we have stopped when, on Nicaea, around 1787 after Christ, the church starts discussing the controversy iconoclastic, which means the introduction of image idols from the Roman Catholicism. And already there was some kind of opposition from the Eastern churches. Let's remember that the Roman Empire was already divided into big capitals, Rome and Constantinople, at east. It was Constantine that started dividing the empire due to the invasions of the barbaric people in Rome. So, as we have seen before, there was already on that time a lot of materialistic and Gnosticism inside of the churches, Christian churches. the temples, the assemblies of supposedly the followers of Christ, when Constantine started paying salary to the clergy. And it was like a negotiation in the faith, where the little remnant of pure doctrine starts being completely destroyed with the introduction of all the mentality, Greek mentality and Roman paganism on the assemblies of Christians, like the idea of the Sunday to worship the Lord, the temples, the necessity to build temples. The Christians have their own temple, like the pagans, they had the temple. And in this, pure doctrine starts being attacked from all around. Not more anymore by persecution, but more for infiltration of Gnosticism, the ideas of that were coming from the old mysterious religions that never left the territory of the Empire of Rome. So basically we reach 787, and the degradation of the doctrine was so big that things from the Gnosticism, like Bible, start being accepted by part of the church. And with this theme, and some years later, even if they were able to manage some kind of rotten peace on this council, later in 1054, it is the year that the Universal Church of Christ, the Catholic Church, is divided at the middle between the Western Church in Rome, the Roman Catholics, and the Eastern Church in Istanbul, Constantinople, on that day, because there was a different idea about doctrines that had grown on a way that a real controversy about the origin of the Holy Spirit was on the table. The Roman Catholics, they defend the idea that the origin of the Holy Spirit comes from the Father and the Son, and the Orthodox didn't accept this idea, accepted only that the origin of the Holy Spirit was from the Father, not from the Son. The Father was the origin of everything. So based on this, on discussions like this, again, with all the contrarieties that were before discussed, like the image, when the Orthodox accept some kind of image and the Catholic wants to improve this great idea to pray to image, to representations of saints and angels. Basically, the Orthodox were using this new discussion to divide. But in fact, we can see that what was behind of this was not so much a theological division, it was more a search for power, for riches. Because the church in Constantinople was very rich. They were placed on a geography that were very good to commerce with the Eastern societies. And one of the things that the Roman Catholics were using against the church in Constantinople was that they were negotiating with the infidels, with the emerging Arab nations. So basically, politically and sociologically talking, all things were on the table to produce the great schism, the great division. And it happened that corruption remained on both sides, because the real thing they should be talking about, that was the beginning of the corruption by money of the clergy, none of them were discussing this. Okay, they all were happy with the good salary that the emperors were paying to them. They were living at the cost of the titans of the normal people, the workers. And of course, this was only just a distraction, because the real purpose was to see who could gather more money, who could have more power. So with this, God has produced the great schism. So Catholicism start to degrading on a level that we will see on the next council produced on by the Roman Catholicism from the western parts of the church, at which capital was still Rome. We'll see that council after council, the Gnosticism's idea were becoming doctrine for Christians. For instance, the Council number 9 of the Catholicism was in 1123. It was called the First Lateran. The First Lateran Council was met in AD 1123, and they decreed that priests could not marry and granted indulgence to crusaders. So, as you can see, the guy went completely satanic, okay? This was promoted because they were embriagated with the power of money. So this was, if we can say this, the beginning of the end of what was left with according to the teachings of Christ and the apostles after the great schism, around 70 years later, they declared war against the infidels. And for that, people were paying for their sins to pay the crusade, because they didn't want to lose Jerusalem, because it was a big city on the commerce. Okay, it was by the way, in the way to conquer Jerusalem, they pillaged Constantinople. So, as you can see, there is nothing of love of Christ on the history of the church. By the contrary, we can see by their actions that at this age begins Dark Age, the Middle Age. So Christianity was completely dark, became completely opposite to the ideals of the gospel. We can see later in the tenth council was meet in 1215, they start establishing the Inquisition, and they define the Gnostic doctrine. It became a doctrine, the mass transubstantiation, in the mess. So basically, they indoctrinate that no more on the mess after the incantation or the prayer of the priest, that wine was no more wine, was real blood of Christ, and the bread was real meat of Christ. See, this word has its origins on anterior discussions that the early church fathers tried to rebuke while they could resist the devil, while they could resist, until Constantine fought the faith of almost of them with the salary. So this is the power of money. See, at this time we have the real face of this supposedly Christian church. And I'm not talking something just because I am against Catholicism. Of course, I don't agree. But I am talking this because this will have implications till these days that we are living now. We are living with part of this Gnosticism and distortions all around us. What we call evangelical universe. We will see this later, but I want you to know that the relations between the two churches after the Great Schism became almost war, because as I already told you, they pillage Constantinople. Crusaders, they pillage, one of the crusades, they pillage Constantinople. And from both sides, from the western part of the empire or the eastern part of the empire, they both have excommunicated the other part of the church. So they become real enemies in faith. And the remnants of the other part, they were living on the wrong part, they were persecuted. Lots of people were expulsed. Some died defending their homes. So this was Christians, supposedly Christians against Christians. Don't you remind you something on this day? If you don't belong to that part of believers, if you don't fully live the doctrines of that temple, you are not the same kind of Christian as the other, even if you have if you confess the same Savior, see? But we will get to this. I just want you to understand the continuation of the degradation of Christianity. Later in 1013-12, was the first Council of Vienne. Council, by the way, this council in Vienne began to suppress the Knights Templar, because they were getting too much rich from the Crusades, and they were starting to make front to the papal authority. So the clergy and the Pope, they confiscate the goods of the Templars. They call them heretics. In fact, the Knight Templars, we know that they really served Mammon. They were just going to get the riches of Jerusalem. So, but with this, they start being controlled again by the papal authority. It was a way of the Pope of Rome showing who was the boss. And at the same time, they start condemning some groups that were emerging, that were questioning the papal authority on these days, right? Prior to the Reformation, like the Beguines and the Begas. These were communities of men and women similar to monks and nuns, but they reject the authority of the Roman Catholic Church. So the Pope has already started the Inquisition and starts using the Inquisition to persecute these small groups and even the Templars. That's why they accuse them of being followers of Satan. In fact, all these stories about money reaching the spoilers of war, you see? At this time, the search for power were so strong that people only think in having money to use it to gain more power. So this was Mamon's kingdom. And the Eastern Church, even being less degraded, she kept the same level, because all the degradation starts with Constantine, with the completely infiltration of the power of the money on the doctrines, on the message of the gospel. When Christians accepted to have temples because they had to obey the Pontificus Maximus, that Constantine, in fact, he was a worshipper of Mitra, that had already entered in the Roman Empire, coming from the Greek, coming from prior, from the Persians and Babylon. So they surrendered to Mitra. And Mitra, we know that was the god of sun. It comes from Nimrod, from the origins of the mystery schools, from the watchers. So basically, it was with Constantine that Satan conquered the church using the money. So, by the way, in this time of the Inquisition, there was two guys called, let me check on my notes here, Heinrich Kramer and James Sprenger, two monks, Dominicians monks, that wrote the Maleus Maleficarum, which means it was a book, it was a manual, how to hunt the witches. I will put the link on the chat room for you to check by yourself. It's in the Wikipedia. And basically, this was a manual how to inquire the witches and the wizards, and to force them to confess, and then to give them their sentence. Well, then they start using this even against the Templars, just because they want to have their money, their riches. So later, after the Council of Vienne, they gathered at 1418 to end a papal schism. People wrongly call this period also the Great Schism, but it was not the Great Schism. This was the Western Schism. Basically, there were a fight for power between some cardinals. They want to be the Pope. So the greed was so evident that they, even the cardinals, could not agree. Some would say this is the Pope. Some, because one of them was transferred to France, to Avignon. The others say, no, this is the new one. This is in Rome. So it became a fight. It became a religious war called the 30 Years' War in Europe. And they tried to resolve this thing by appointing a third pope, a new pope. But it ends that none of the first two accepted. So it became three dogs fighting for one bone. So with this, all the little lights that were appearing in the middle of so much darkness, they quick were vanished from the horizon, like John Hus, a Czech reformer that was burned in the stake by the Inquisition for preaching that Jesus was the head of the church and not the Pope. The result was... So you can see this is 1418. We are reaching the time that will appear Martin Luther King. Sorry, Martin Luther, not King. He appears to do the Reformation in these troubled times. He basically appears, and historically they say the Reformation starts in 1517 when he published the 95 Theses against indulgence and confronts the emissary of the Pope that were trying to collect money to build St. Peter Basilica, because it was necessary to build temples to that God. You see? So basically they were negotiating with all the kingdoms of Europe, selling indulgence, forgiveness of their sins to kings and noble people and land workers, trying to get the most money. In fact, they bought even the Nordic kingdoms of Europe, like Germany, Scandinavia, that were not very adept of the Catholicism of the Pope of Rome. They tried to buy their favor, promising some kind of reward for those kings that accept that the emissaries of the Pope to produce the indulgence on their people. So you can read this on the additional notes. There is a lot of details about this. But again, what is important for you to remember on this story is the power of money. Who is the God of these people? What is the base that moves everything on these dark times? The search for power through money. So we get the Reformation. We get the 1517 when Martin Luther is opposing the regime of Pope and ends excommunicated. He refused to deny his teachings. And with that, the northern kingdoms of Europe that really want to be free from the papal tyranny, they united with these religious movements of Protestants and other members like Calvin in Switzerland, and they start declaring themselves Protestants, different from the outside of the hierarchy. But as we will see, what we call Reformation was just a twist, a transfer of power, because Luther was a monk. Luther was raised in the Catholicism. And the Reformation he did was not a complete Reformation. And we will see after some polls that we will be doing here that he brings to that Reformation some of the problems that he has learned there. He starts building Protestant temples. He just transfers the authority of a man to another type of man, using what? The Bible. He transfers the authority from the Pope to the Bible, which is better. But it's not the real gospel, because the gospel is not of the scripture. The gospel is the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it doesn't give this leap of faith. He has a fray of the cows. He was a monk. He had learned the danger of the Gnostics. So he tries to use the Bible in a way of control the possible chaos that would bring to Europe if people understand that they should only respond individually to Christ. So it doesn't do a complete reformation according to the gospel. And as you will see, this still has implications on these days. And that's what we are doing here. Digging up the truth, digging up the roots of the problems, to go there, cut the cancer, heal ourselves, and help the others to heal themselves from the roots of evil. First, the love of money, of course. Then, the greed for power to control others. And that is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's make a pause here to put the ideas, and I'll be right back in around 10 minutes. Okay, we're back. I have already been talking with you guys at the chat room. Basically, the ideas of the Reformation started with the Valdivian groups, and the first ones they were massacred, the Cathars, and lots of small groups that tried to remove from the system. They were persecuted, they were massacre, and the Reformation can only be possible with Luther, because there was already lots of secular powers that were willing for someone to give the faith and to support. All the northern kingdoms of Europe were trying to get free from the slavery of the Pope. So basically all these groups were the real starters of the Reformation, and Martin Luther only appears in 1517, and lots of people had already died trying to confront Papal authority, as we have seen. But basically what it's matter here is, I will give you some insight of the rest of the path that the Roman Catholicism walk until these days, but we will be talking the rest of the show about the Reformation and the implications for the spiritual implications for is modern day, as we all on the evangelical system were taught that, okay, we are the saints, we are the good ones, the other are the bad, because we came from the Reformation, we are the Protestant children, so we are right. The things are not so clear, because as I already talked here, Martin Luther didn't make the Reformation that God had gave him to do. Just partial, but he just transferred the power to another manipulation using the Bible. And basically it ends on human authority again. So before we go deep on this, I want you to know that all the movement of the Reformation that started with these groups, and then later Calvin and Luther go further on that fight, provoked a reaction on the Roman Catholicism. And at Trent, the Council of Trent in 1547, they decreed some more strange parts to the Bible, to the gospel message. They declare finally that tradition, from their tradition, the Roman tradition, bears the same authority as Scripture, and that the Vulgate, which means the Catholic Bible, translated by Jerome, the one who introduces the lie about the name of Satan, Lucifer, was to be the official Bible version. So basically, it's a counter-reformation, because if the other one was saying that the Bible should be the authority, they will be winning on both front lines, because they were assuming with the authority of the Pope that their translation was a real one. So, as you can see, this is the whole Hegelian dialect promoted by the dark forces. They create the problems and they offer no solution, because the solutions they offer leads to another abyss. So that's when they reaffirm that the Apocrypha the other books that the Jews did not accept. They were inspired also, another form of deception, inspired scriptures. Basically what we should claim for ourselves is if what is written in the scripture, it's true or a lie, it's facts or it's just an invention. Because the really inspired scripture are the words of God that are inside the scripture, the laws of God on the Old Testament, and the prophecies of the prophets that were given by God to them, and of course, the teachings of Christ. So, but this time in 1547 already, that the manipulation in the minds of people was already on his path to give bad foods. So people were discussing vain stuff, like which Bible is the real Bible, is the real authority. Basically, they reaffirmed the heresy of the transubstantiation. And this was the council in Trent that reject the Protestant teaching and the doctrines of the original sin and justification by faith alone. Basically, they didn't want to lose their territory. It was the origin of the Counter-Reformation, and they created an index which was a list of forbidden books. Of course, all the Protestant books were on this index. After this comes the First Vatican Council in later 1869, where they decreed the papal infallibility, which means everything that the Pope speaks is doctrine, is God. This goes deep, 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 almost to the bottom of the abyss. But it goes deep in 1965 when they declare that the Virgin Mary did not die, became a godness, just like Christ. So this was the ending of the process, the Gnostic process that started with Constantine. In fact, this is because the Holy Spirit was not anymore leading this church for a long time. The Holy Spirit is the Ruach HaKodesh. It's considered the feminine part of God, the part that takes care of us here. In fact, Ruach, it's a feminine word in Hebrew. You go to the scholars and you get this truth. In the original book of Matthew, Gospel of Matthew, that was written in Hebrew, they reviewed from there to this traditional translation we have from the Greek. That part where Jesus says that he was taken by his mother, the Ruach HaKodesh, to the desert to be tempted by Satan. That's why he said to Mary, he didn't call mother to Mary, he called woman. He said to John on the crucifixion, son, this is your mother. Who is my mother? My mother are the ones who do my will. So Jesus, as God, called mother the Holy Spirit. Because in fact, for us it's strange. Some of the church fathers call this a blasphemy. But for any Jew, rabbi, it's a natural thing called the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, the feminine word. So if you don't believe me, you go check. It's easy, go Google it, Ruach HaKodesh, and see by yourself. So basically, this was the intention of Satan, to create this godness called Mary. In fact, it was the Sophia from the Gnostics. Basically, what he intends to do is to replace Christ with Mary. Produce another intermediary to the Christians. So this was the path that Catholicism has taken until this confusion, Babel, that we have now, where they are trying to promote a solution for the chaos they were promoting all these centuries by calling their Jesuit agents that were spread through all religions, all denominations, to conquer again the faith of the faith Christian, those that follow Mammon's path. So this is the point that we are going to stop and look in all directions to understand the fight that we are in as followers of Christ. So with the Reformation, what really happened was a transfer of power from men to men. What really has changed was the alibi of that crime. The Reformation from Luther and Calvin didn't give Christ the right place on the heart of men. If the first one, the Catholics, used Peter, the fake authority of Peter, based on the Bible, to say they were the remnant of Peter's authority, these ones will use the Bible herself. Martin Luther doesn't leave the man to create a relationship without a temple to indoctrinate them. More than this, as a good monk, he used the same manual to hunt witches, to hunt those that defy on their territory this movement, like the Anabaptists. Basically, the Anabaptists were challenging the Protestants by saying that people should not be baptized until they reach the age they could decide by themselves. This was the basic disagreement. Instead of accepting these words of wisdom, it promotes a Protestant Inquisition against this group. Of course, this group was so pure that they were all against all kind of materialistic possession. They share everything. And what the Protestants were invoking, it was that they were fleshy. They even used this idea to be sexual perversion. They shared their wives, their daughters, with each other. That's what they claim to them. I sincerely have my doubts about this, but basically this Luther and the church from the Lutherans became really aggressive to all those that put in danger their movement, and they used the same book, the Malus Malisarium, from the Catholics to hunt these people. So this is something that you will never hear, or very rarely you will hear from a modern Lutheran, Presbyterian, Anglican, or even evangelical pastor. This touched the pride of the Protestant Church and all those that come from them, like the Anglicans. And this will shock you. But I challenge you to go to the link that I will put here and see by yourself. Basically, with the Reformation, all the tithing deception ends. But they didn't end the vision of the temple to control people. They didn't trust in the Holy Spirit to return to the home church, to the organic church, like on the apostles' time. That's why I say it was just a transfer of power using the Bible. And they use the distortions of the interpretations of the teachings of Paul to promote their authority as the real interpreters of the Bible, saying the Bible is the word of God, so we must follow Paul. Paul was the last of the apostles. So Jesus continues to be less than Paul. So the church steals the real intermediate between man and God through the interpretation of the scriptures. The common man does not have the freedom to create his relationship with the Holy Spirit, with the Reformation. Otherwise, they will be persecuted, like the Romans did. So, this was not the complete Reformation. It was just a transfer of power, just another kind of manipulation, religious manipulation. Basically, it gives a little bit more freedom to the people, but it doesn't give Christ to them. It gives the Bible. Is a number of books which they, the clergy, consider the real ones. It is their interpretation and their doctrine. And that's what we have today. The remnants of the Protestant and the evangelical churches. But with another degradation, because they return to the first state, to worshiping Mammon. Because the Reformation, they were building churches with the free contribution of the people that were being free from the tyranny of Rome. Instead of paying tributes to Rome, people were offering to the movement of the Reformation to build their temples. But that ends, and the movement starts becoming more poor and can't control the situation, because what they really want was to control. In fact, after the Reformation, a lot of things happened, like the formation of the Anglican Church in England, more for political reasons than theological reasons. You can check this. But basically, when all these divisions start appearing on the Protestants, with the Calvinists in France, in Switzerland, it happens that they start being divided by Satan, as was the Roman Catholicism. And what with these divisions, again, they were corrupted by the secular powers, by the kings, because they need money to sustain the temples they have built, all of them. And this becomes so heavy, then later, some of these remnants from the Protestant Reformation start hiring places in the church as a form of revenue. It's called the pew rent. Basically, the pew was a long bench seat or enclosed box using the seat for sitting members of a congregation or a choir on the church. And what happened was they start renting to those they could pay a rent for the congregation to have their own seat there. Of course, it was not all of them, but it was something that was becoming common on the congregations that were coming from this movement of the Reformation, the Anglicans, the Presbyterians, the Lutherans. So they were renting the space, the bench. You can confirm with the Wikipedia I will put here, and you'll see that I am not inventing this. There's the link. There are also works, university works doing researchers that talk about this. The tithing had ended, but another forms of distortion, materialistic control, start appearing like the pew to rent. People like George Mueller, in 1839, when he arrives to London, he opens a church where he can help a lot of orphans using this kind of revenue for the congregation. Of course, this is not biblical. This contradicts all the teachings of Christ. But as you can see, Mammon becomes ruler again, just with another disguise. After a lot of fights because of this, they start tithing again. This George Mueller was one of the preachers that start using tithing again, not forcing them, but as a way to sustain the orphan they were helping. He starts teaching that was more accurate using the Levitical Bible, tithing, than to maintain this pew to rent, because it was giving a lot of problems. It was creating a religion of castes, of types of persons, those that could pay, those that could not pay their seat on heaven. Basically, this was the problem. So, what does this mean to us on this present day? A lot. Because even those churches, evangelical churches, that doesn't preach the Levitical type on the back doors, they all see, measure the faith of their believers by the contributions, by the faith in giving to the congregation. And those are the workers on the congregation. It's just nothing new under the sun, just another disguise. If you are generous to the congregation, maybe you grow there. If you are not very, very sinner, you can be a gay now, especially with the government helping them. If your tithing is good, the pastors will close their eyes. If your contribution is okay, the Holy Spirit will do the job. We cannot condemn them. You will hear this. But if you have another kind of sin that is not so evident, maybe you don't go to church so much times because you have to work or study. And if your contribution to the congregation is a little bit zero, there will come the Inquisition, the Protestant Evangelical Inquisition, and you will be excommunicated because you don't give fruit. This system is being produced again for new Constantine appear on the horizon to give their power money, to control us, to money, and you will only be able to buy and sell, as it says in Revelation, if you worship the beast. And what does the harlot do on Revelation? She is mounted on the beast, giving the wine to drink, her and all those that drank with her, to become embriagated with the plague. So, what is the motto of all of this? Money. Mammon. I want you to understand how urgent it is for you to realize that you cannot participate on this circus, on this masquerade, using the name of the Lord, but in fact they are all worshippers of Mammon, and their ultimate alliance will be with those that will bring them the resource to continue to be kings over the souls. The war of Babylon, she deals with souls of men also. So, when you say, I am an evangelical, I am a Baptist, I was born and raised, I will die as Catholic. Basically, you are saying that you are not a real follower of Christ. You are a denominational Christ, Christian. It comes first, the doctrine. The authorities of the denomination becomes first than the teachings of Christ. And when these authorities will guide you to hell, that will be the alliance that you have built and take care all of your life. Because you were programmed through the Bible to worship men, that worship Mammon, that despise Christ, that use Christ for their own purpose and never have served really Christ. And all the oil of this engine is money. Well, Lobby, my point about priesthood relating to the New Age is that, in fact, Satan tried to persecute the primitive church, the real followers of Christ and the apostles. But at the same time, he produced an infiltration through the Jewish mystics. So we create the same Hegelian dialectic. The attack by both sides surround the faith, the message of the gospel. And that's what we have today. And that's what we will have on the Great Tribulation. All this distraction now with Islam is just the pronounce of what is going to happen with the ecumenical movement, where or you accept what is the solution of the Pope and the human authority to the world, and you deny Christ and you accept Christ just as a prophet, and further you surrender to the Antichrist that will appear in a human form, and you will have at your disposal all the privilege of this world with future money, or you will not be able to survive in this world with their help. It will be you and your God. So if you don't cultivate now this dependence of Jesus by grace, if you don't start living now day by day as Jesus as teacher, if you don't indoctrinate yourself in the real teaching and gospel of the kingdom, you will be not have the spiritual power given by the Holy Spirit inside of you to resist the pressure that this beast with the harlot will make on the hearts and minds of persons. It is now that you have to make a decision. You and I, we have to get out of Babylon now. We have to say, I don't live for the money, because my king has all the money in their hands. If man doesn't give me solutions, he will give. And you have to believe on this, like I am doing. It was very easy to me to create a group of followers that could sustain me. But I will not make myself hostage of men and corrupt the message of the kingdom, because my God is able to make me find more money than all the men in the world together. And he never failed me. I don't need to mix, to negotiate the message of the kingdom like all these temple builders are doing. And you better believe me, there will be no one temple builder that will be able to escape the Great Tribulation. There will be no one, because they are aligned with Mammon. They depend on Mammon. Even if they are really seeing all the other deceptions, they will surrender to the beast. They will not have the power, because they never really served the Holy Spirit. They never gave him the glory he deserves. They just use him. They steal the glory like the Pharisees did to Moses and to the Torah. So it's very important for you to become free from denomination, which is very similar to demonization, right? That's the English. That's the power of the language. Sometimes we say things, we think that we are saying something, it means another. So, who, Lord, which Lord are you going to follow? Mammon or Christ? This will be the war. This was a warning, a clear warning for us. You cannot have two. And Jesus did not mention Satan or the fallen angels or the Antichrist. Jesus mentioned the cancer that would make you surrender to Satan. Money, the love of money, the root of all evils. And it's now that we, as followers of Jesus Christ, must teach our own spirit on depending on the real gospel of the kingdom, living day by day. Okay, I have a job, so I can get money. Cool. But if that job will cost your salvation, will corrupt the message and your testimony, you better leave, that God will open a door for you. God will reward your faith. But this is not what it is being teaching on evangelical universe. If you leave your job and you cannot contribute to the church, you will be cast out because you are called someone that doesn't want to work. And they will accuse you. And even if it pleases God, your decision to confront some bad boss you have, you will be ostracized. You will be a strange body to this fake body of Christ. Because you cannot touch the God they really serve. Money. They need to sustain the system, the pyramid, and with money they buy and trade with the souls of people. And most of them are there because they are mercenaries, starting by the big pastors that are already on the secret society. In fact, everyone that practices typing on these days, it's just a liar. Even if he speaks against the abortion, if he speaks against England, confront them with the money and you will see the real faith. You will see how they take the Bible and use scriptures out of context and even confront Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, with the typing of Abraham, which in case was an offer, and he did it once by gratitude to God, not because God has pressure. So understand this. It's not the Old Testament will make a difference on your life. It's the gospel, the teaching, and the example of life of Jesus Christ, which all you believe and follow, or you just deceiving yourself, replacing the authority of man in your life, replacing the authority of the Holy Spirit by the authority of man. Real followers of Jesus Christ must understand. Try to refresh. Real followers of Christ need to create now their own independence. Not independence of God, but independence of men. They need, really need to be focused on Christ. With the Reformation, they start the pew for rent, and now you have pay per view for everything on the congregations called Christian. Everything. You pay for view everything. To hear the music, to be healed by the CD, by the anointed oil. But please tell yourself, ask yourself this simple question. What was that Jesus has sold while he was walking amongst the apostles to the people? What was that Jesus sold besides his own body to be your friend, to be your guide, that you are exchanging by nothing? I am not against people that write books, that sing, and they dedicate all their lives to these things. So they have to ask some money to live, to continue blessing others. But I am against all kind of distortions and calling this gospel of Jesus Christ. I am against all kind of witchcrafts that are being used by Jesuits. This guy has pastor, evangelical pastors and masons and Gnostics with anointed ties that are just spreading lies, manipulation and deception, and stealing the glory of the Holy Spirit, calling themselves the New Reformation because they are against the abortion and the gay marriage. And what about the Titan, the real god of this world? Money. Tell them to put down the temples and divide all their congregations in house churches, and you will see their reaction. They will be your enemy if you want to do this. If you want to come back to the simplicity of the primitive church. I'll be right back because I will end this show soon, but there is a little bit more to come. I want to give you an encouragement to understand that this story does not end here, at least for those who have the faith to be tamim to God, complete, to consummate the faith that once received from Christ. Those that doesn't turn back like the rich man, the rich boy, that when God said to him, go sell everything if you want to be perfect, tamim. Sell everything and follow me. At that time, it was clear that Jesus was not the God of that man. He had already chosen another God for himself. He had already decided that he would follow Mammon. the regard of this world. I'll be right back. Okay, we're back to the last part of the show. Now that we have walked the long road to reach the root of the cancer, the faith in Christ, I want to guide you, if I can, on an exercise with the Bible. Think how dangerous can be our own free will. Because God will not you guide you to hell. He'll always guide you, consummate your salvation, but he will respect our free will, even when he sees that your path, your decision will make you end on a bad situation. He will respect you. He will warn you several times. He will always try to make you understand that it was your decision and you have to go to that point where you was out of the purpose which you were created. Just think about Israel. Let's use the Bible. Let's use the scriptures as an exercise of how we should use really the Bible and confront the scriptures, the authority of the scriptures as a good, a blessed guide of God and the real word of God, which was the commandments of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit through the church, and he decided what was good and enough to have a good relationship in the first council. With the Gentilic controversy, everything that was put over that simple decision was made by the apostles and the Holy Spirit for the Gentiles does not come from God. God is perfect. And when he decided for the Gentiles what was enough for them, he was serious. Do not turn to the idols, to the blood sacrifices, do not eat the blood, and just don't fornicate. Because all these three things are portals, are practices that open doors to demons, to Satan in your life. So, all things about money, it's about you to decide what to do with the money. If you want to give 10% for a congregation, you are free to give. But please don't sell your freedom. Let's think about Israel. Let's think about the dangers to go because the majority of people go on some direction. That is a lack of faith in Christ's authority to your life. The same way that Israel starts asking a king to God, like the other nations. And God said to Samuel, they didn't reject you, they rejected me. So let's do their way. Why? Because they want to be like the other ones. Satan was pretending to be very powerful with the great nations around Israel, with their religion, with their God, in fact, with their temples, monster cities. And the people start forgetting the power of his God, their God, who had bring them from the slavery of Egypt and gave them the land of the giants. And God respect them. Okay, you want a king? Go. He gave them a king like the ones they were worshipping. A giant. Not so giant like the others, but Saul was very big. With appearance of king. But weak in spirit. It was their decision to be like the other one, to go with the flock of zombies that were all around and start paying tribute to the king instead of helping the simple prophet like Samuel. Of course, we know the end of the story, but the problem did not end there. David, when he reached the kingdom, he brings the ark. And again, the same pride affecting the heart of man. Even the man it had a heart like God, a merciful heart. But Satan found space in some situations that we must think that we cannot fall on the same track. The pride of the numbers, count the numbers of his army, his people, as his safety was in numbers and not in the God that he was serving. The pride, the rise of the flesh, which make him an assassin, a killer of men, to steal the wife of that man. The pride, the flesh, and the wish to build the temple, the vanity, like the others. You can say, well, but God agreed, right? God will agree if you insist on something. But what was the initial purpose of God living with the man? Was to live in a tent, to teach people how they should live on this world, like Abram did. We are only passengers here. This is not our home. But they insist to be like the ones that love this world, want to rule this world. So they build the temple with all the consequences that we know. So what was the temptation on the desert? The lust of the eyes, of the flesh, pride of the life, the vanity. Aren't you the Son of God? Oh, and what did Jesus use to go against Satan? The Word of God, the Bible. No, there was no Bible there. It was scriptures. Which scriptures? The words of God. Jesus used the words of God that are on the Bible. But he didn't have the Bible there. Is this enough for you to understand who is the Word of God? What is the Word of God? How Jesus put all things in the right place? Can you please make me a favor of understanding this? That you say that you are evangelical and you use the Bible, you are just denying the gospel of Jesus Christ and accepting another manipulation. You are replacing Christ in your life by a book that can be manipulated, has been manipulated by man, has been distortion in its significance, in its context. Please make a favor for yourself. Understand that nothing can replace Jesus in your life. Nothing. Not even the most anointed man. He is just an instrument. The Bible is an instrument of the Word of God, that is Jesus Christ, for your life, to guide you to Christ, to start to improve your relationship with Christ. Saying that the Bible is the Word of God is saying that the Bible is Jesus. Because God has given you a Bible, has approved a group of books to guide you to Christ, it doesn't mean God is the book. He just accepted, he just gave you, produced this thing. Leonardo da Vinci painted the Mona Lisa. But saying that the Bible is Jesus, is God, the Word of God, is the same thing that saying that the Mona Lisa is Leonardo da Vinci. Please, deprogram yourself, because we have track the roots of the manipulation. We have tracked how you're still under the same spell that uncover another God for you to guide you and put Jesus as a skeleton on your armor. in your closet, forgot what Jesus said. You have now a pastor given by Jesus. You have now a congregation. You have now the Bible. Look, you can be saved without a Bible. If Jesus wants to give you an experience, he doesn't need the Bible. But he used the Bible. He confirms the Bible because it is a real God that she speaks about. But she is not God. I need to emphasize this because this is the great weapon that Satan is using now. It was produced by the Reformation. And that's why you are paying tithe to men. Forgetting that Jesus never sold one thing. The apostles never sold one thing with the gospel, with the pure message. They accept everything, but they never sold one thing. Your fight for your freedom, for the freedom of your loved ones, will be with Mammon. Will be with that idol that touches on your pride, that touches on your flesh, that makes you believe that you can be completely happy using it in the place of Jesus Christ to guide you to eternity. My brothers and sisters, I am ending the show. I hope, I pray to God that you open your spiritual eyes for the great problem that we have on this day. Islam, abortion, ET will only flow one last battle. Or you start depending on Christ now. Or when the Antichrist arrives, to gather all the deceptions in one person that will decide who lives and dies, who buys, who sells, who have food. If you don't create now the kingdom of God inside of you, you will surrender to that problem that is coming. A big, big problem. God bless you all. Please, if you like, share. I hope that I could give you the background that others should give you, but of course they will not give you. God bless you. We'll see you around.